So we will continue to read from the oral teachings of Sri Ramana Maharshi from the collection Thus Spake Ramana. We're at number 68. I exist is the only permanent, self-evident experience of everyone. He uses the term, I exist. Here we would make a distinction between existence and being. There's a difference between saying I exist and I am. He's using it here synonymously. But keep in mind that the existence is a beingness that has moved into an externalization of itself as an object of becoming in the world. So existence loses the beingness into the becomingness of identification with the movement of the vehicle that exists in time and space. So I would interpret this phrase, this sentence, to be Sri Ramana saying that I am is the only self-evident experience of everyone. Nothing else is so self-evident, and the word self-evident is pratyaksha in Sanskrit. Nothing else is so self-evident as the I am. Okay, there is nothing that is more clear, more immediate than the fact of awareness. The problem is we take it so much for granted that we skip over the awareness as if it is nothing and we focus on what we are aware of and lose the sense of beingness into the sense of havingness and doingness. Thus, the term for psychology is the science of behave your behavior. It's being as having and doing. And we have lost the pure sense of beingness, but that is what is most self-evident when we meditate and return to what is real. So, Ramana goes on, what people call self-evident, in other words, the experience they get through the senses, is very far from self-evident. Why is it far from self-evident? Because anything that you get from the senses, any data, has to be interpreted. And you can always interpret it in different ways. And as soon as it is interpreted and labeled, it is removed from the plane of immediacy to that of representation. And suddenly there are associations in the mind to every bit of sense data. Is it good or bad? Is it sweet or sour? Is it something I want or something I don't want? It's immediately interpreted and represented by signifiers, and the immediate self-evidence of what is lost in the mentalization of the experience. So, Ramana says, the self alone is that. In other words, the self alone is pratyaksha, self-evident. Pratyaksha is another name for the self. So to do self-analysis and to be the I am is the only thing to do, to realize the self. And that analysis is a very interesting kind of analysis, unlike the analysis of an object, because to analyze that which is self-evident is impossible except by being it. It cannot be analyzed because it is the core capacity for analysis. So once you pay attention to attention itself, you cannot go beyond the realization of what is, and there is nothing about what is that can be objectively known, because it is that non-objective capacity for awareness that is responsible for the ability to analyze everything else, and even for there to be an everything else. And when you do the analysis that Ramana is talking about, however, what is realized is that there is no everything else, because what had been labeled as everything else, as if it were self-evident, is only a manifestation of the same awareness. In other words, if we consider awareness to be a field, you can call it a quantum field if you want, but an infinite field of potentiality, whatever arises is simply a perturbation of the field. That's all it is, an agitation of the field that arises and disappears. Whether it's a thought, whether it's an image, whether it's a taste, whether it's any kind of sense data, whether it is something that is labeled as a phenomenal event, whatever it is simply an agitation in the field. But the agitations that arise and disappear from the field are not other than the field. And this is why, once you have realized the field, you have entered non-duality. Because whatever arises and whatever disappears is nothing other than consciousness itself. So, to do self-analysis and be I am is the only thing to do. I am is reality. I am this or that is unreal. So the whole problem with human consciousness, and I say that as an interpretation itself, because there's no such thing as human consciousness. There is only consciousness. But as soon as I become human, as soon as I become a that, a this or a that, I become a particularity within the field. I become an agitation. And therefore, as soon as I identify as anything, that agitation tends to grow. And the more agitation there is, the more there is a sense of existing as a person. And so all the ego is a collection of agitations, anxieties, worries, desires, fears, reactions to other agitations that arise in the field. And the capacity of the field to soothe and dissolve the agitations becomes lost. But once you realize you are the field itself, then you can silence all of those perturbations that arise as a result of mental activity. But to do that, you have to strip away all of the beliefs that you have about the I am. Anything other than the pure I am becomes an obstacle, becomes a weight, becomes a perturbation that remains as a standing wave in the field that attracts other kinds of clashes, sufferings, further agitations of the objectification of awareness. So to strip away all the stories, all the narratives, and to return to the pure awareness that is the self, brings you to the infinite field that is blissful, luminous, radiant, and non-different, non-other, non-arising, and therefore not capable of being agitated, completely free of any identification within the field, one has transcended the illusion of a being in a world. So, Ramana goes on to the next teaching. The Upanishadic saying, I am Brahman, simply means Brahman, which is the field, is I. Not that I, as a being in the field, am Brahman. No. It is not to be supposed that a man is advised to contemplate, I am Brahman, I am Brahman. No. Does a man keep on thinking, I am a man, I am a man? He is that, and except when a doubt arises as to whether maybe he's an animal or a tree, maybe if he's on a drug or drank too much alcohol, then he might have to assert, I am a man. Similarly, the self is self. Brahman exists as I am in everything and every being, because everything and every being are only agitations in the field that is Brahman. And when there is a realization that I am Brahman, Brahman is the real I, the agitation dissolves and the field is once again revealed without perturbations. So Brahman, or this infinite field of consciousness, is all that you could possibly be. But to realize the blissful, infinite, eternal nature of Brahman, there must be a letting go of the identification with anything that arises mentally or physically within the consciousness. So I'll read one more, which is number 70. This is Ramana now giving an order. You must cease to be the three ordinary Purushas. There are three kinds of Purusha. The Adama, Madhyama, Uttama. Those are the three. And he says, don't become any of those. Let go of those kinds of Purusha and become the Purushottama. Okay, in other words, the highest kind of Purusha, the highest kind, is that which is the absolute field itself. And that one is not one that is either a being who is consciousness, a being whose consciousness is sometimes linked to the absolute and sometimes falls back into the individual narcissistic mode of being, or even the one who remains aware of that higher capacity in the soul, but does not dissolve that final subtle sense of existence and return to the infinite and absolute. So this is accepted, Ramana says. Attain that state and see for yourself what that state is, and whether there is any vritti in it. The vritti is the mental agitation, a thought, any movement of the mind, emotion or attitude or image, but there is no vritti in the Purushottama, the consciousness that has reached the realization that Brahman is I and never falls away from that. So, to speak even of Brahmakara vritti, as we sometimes do, is not accurate. In other words, the Hindus speak of the vritti, the thought of being Brahman. But Brahman cannot be contained in a vritti. It is not an agitation. It is the complete cessation of vrittis. So he's saying it is not accurate. If we talk of a river that has merged in the ocean as still being a river, and we call it the Samudrakara River, in other words, the oceanic river, then okay, we can talk of the final stage in spiritual growth as having the brahmakara vritti, but only as a manner of speech, not as a reality. Once the river of consciousness, the stream of narratives of an ego, has disappeared into the oceanic field of pure awareness, no trace of that river remains, no trace of the ego. There is only the infinite self that ever was. So this is the function of the Sat Yoga process, to allow the stream to fall into the river or rise into the ocean and to become that absolute field of pure awareness that is the real I, and never return to the narrative of a stream of consciousness that is separate from the universal, never again to want to be a particularity in the field, never to be agitated, never to produce agitations in the mind, never to allow any perturbation of the field to create disturbance in the consciousness, but to bring it all back home into the Om, into the Shanti, into the Brahman, and to realize that field as being forever peaceful, forever unified, forever without multiplicity of agitating signifiers, but always to be the radiant sameness distributed everywhere equally as the I, without the egocentric assumption of the lower forms of Purusha that create disturbances in the field and that create karmic backlash from the field, but to remain always as the I of the field itself, that therefore never enters into experience, but is always in that state of pure self-evidence as the self who never either appears or disappears, but is that which underlies, pervades, and enables all appearances to unfold their highest significance, their highest symbolic reference to the Purushottama, that is the self, that is God, manifesting in the field the most infinite beauty that is the greatest work of art possible by the field, that is the manifestation of the field itself in its most blissful possible nature. This is the world of a satyogi that then becomes a satyuga. Let us create that world by uncreating the world of the lower purushas that we have fallen into as a result of becoming disturbed and disturbing disturbances in a field of peace, and return to that parashanti that brings peace to all, because all are the one self. May you know the peace that comes from dissolving all the agitations in the mind and returning to the infinite, universal field of pure presence. May you know the deeper peace of realizing that you have always, eternally, been only this absolute presence that is also absolute absence from the field, that is emptiness and fullness, beyond all dualities, the unification and the integration, and the underlying potency and potentiality of all that is. And may you know the absolute bliss of dissolving every standing wave of agitation and transforming all that arises into infinite beauty, truth, goodness, love, joy, and the absolute self that appears as every being who arises in the field of the absolute mind of God, that is, I am.